question I threw out. I don't know if this is plausible, but why not do an air show one day a week at the beach and bring in more tourism dollars?
The traffic going to those shows should be pulled onto the base. Onto the base, there's a long, Radford's a long, long road into the museum parking lot, and you can do the vetting there that gets those people off of our roadways.
There's opportunities, I mean, because people want to, I mean, I think that people should enjoy their naval base.
So a lot of cooks in this kitchen, a lot of people trying to come up with their bright ideas for how to make the traffic situation around the back gate at NES Pensacola better. Everything from open up the front gate again, or, you know, maybe limit ticket sales, or maybe have the Blue Angels practice at the beach or at Bronson Field. It was kind of my throw in, which I now feel very bad about. Or, you know, do the security vetting at the museum or on Radford instead of outside of the perimeter. Joining us now, somebody who does know a little bit about these matters, retired Captain Tim Lucky Kinsella. He is a former commanding officer at the base. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
It's wonderful to be here with you, Andrew. Appreciate having you.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So let's just maybe look through a couple of these sort of quickly, these ideas that I think none of which are good, even the ones I was sort of receptive to at first, but you tell me. Let's talk about, for example, having the Blue Angels, you know, once a week practice at the beach or at, you know, some other location like Bronson Field.
So would you ask any other organization on the base to do their training somewhere other than the base, for the place that's been designed for them to do their training? No, of course you wouldn't. Would you ask the rescue swimmers that are training at their pool to go to the pool out at Washington High School to do their training? Of course you wouldn't. This is the Blues home. This is their training area. And any time that you move them off of that training area, it incurs massive costs to them. So now they've got to move all the ground equipment and the ground support equipment that they need to do those shows, which is a lot, to wherever it is that you propose for them to do it. And why would they do it? Just so as people can come and look at them. There's no other base in the United States that allows people to come on board two times a week, sometimes more, to do an air show. Nowhere else. So this is quite a unique circumstance. And then to ask them to move somewhere else and incur huge costs to do it, there's no way that the United States military would go for that.
It feels like after the base has now been opened, after it had been closed access, as you well know, for so long after the terrorist attack, that, you know, it feels to me like if Big Navy gets pushed to have to make some decision, their easiest decision is, well, no more base access. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right, Andrew. That is the easiest and most beneficial. And to be quite frank, senior Navy leadership would love to see that happen, because then the base falls within the current policies and guidelines that every other base falls under. You know, the base is under a waiver right now to allow people to come through, a security waiver. So the easiest thing is absolutely to say, okay, if the community has an issue with it, we don't want to be a burden on the community. We want to be good neighbors with the community, so we'll take away that burden.
What about the idea that Commissioner Bergosh had floated, bringing traffic, you know, getting them through the security checkpoint so that we can re-security them on Radford or in the parking lot at the museum? I know some of these things are preposterous, but you tell me what's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's a non-starter, because so you when you vet people, you want to vet them at a place that is furthest from the sensitive areas on the base. And as soon as you bring them on base, that brings opportunity for bad actors to then circumvent that and then get to a place to do some real damage, do real harm. So you're essentially inviting them on base. It's like, inviting somebody into your home before you vet them instead of vetting them at the front door. And there's no way that Commander Navy Installation Command is going to allow that to happen. And in order for that to happen, it would, again, incur massive costs, because you need a lot of extra personnel. You need to create essentially an enclave inside the gate, so it prevents, it sort of corrals people, and it prevents them from going to places that they're not supposed to go. I don't think that CNIC would go for that at all.
I think the people had texted in some analogies. They're like, well, does the county commission going to, let people into the auditorium, into the counts, into the commission chambers, and then screen them for weapons, as opposed to, you know, like now outside? Or, you know, are we gonna, you know, let everybody into the airport and then check them at the gate for it's just like that way of looking at it doesn't make sense. Plus the issue of personnel, as you said, which would be.
That's right. And then, part of the other issue there is as you come in the gate, there's a lot of sensitive things that are there that are easily access to, and so you have to keep close control on those folks there.
Yeah, there's a reason the gate is where it is, right?
It would. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
One of the other proposals that Mike Kohler had floated was limiting access by like a ticket number. But it's my understanding that we're not even at the maximum volume of visitors right now. Is that right?
That's correct. We're not at the maximum volume, and then there are every proposal has costs associated with it. So to do a ticketing program, there's costs. So who's going to administer it? Are we going to put the burden on the base, and the base doesn't have the personnel to do it? We looked at that when I was there, and then during Village's earlier tenure there, he looked at trying to create a system where people could make reservations and come on board, where you get tickets. But when you start drilling down into the details, there's actually quite a cost associated with that, because you have to get people that are going to administer it. You've got to get the terminals, the computer terminals, for be able to work on it. And that sounds simple, but it's really not. When Village is strapped over there in the base. I'm sorry, when I say Village, I mean the current commanding officer. He is strapped for personnel and for funding. And then anything like this puts an extra burden on him, which means that he can't do something else. There's something else that is going to be not get paid for if he does these things.
And even it occurs to me as you're talking about it, you might not think about it, but the extra 30 seconds it takes for the base perimeter guard to also take your tickets is going to slow down the process of getting people on the base, not speed it up. So you already kind of addressed this, I think, but what about just upstaffing the perimeter security? Maybe even, you know, Visit Pensacola could fund that. Or so. I mean, I don't know, because obviously if he's strapped for personnel, he's strapped for personnel. But it seems like having more people at the gate would allow greater throughput.
To a certain extent. So the Navy does a study on the personnel, the security personnel at every installation. Every installation gets it about every 5 years. And they take all of these things into account. And the amount of people that you're authorized to have, that's it. You can't hire any more than you're authorized to have, because there's only so much money to do that. So to say, let's put more people on the gate, you've got to pay overtime, because you're pulling people in from other positions and you can't do overtime sustainably. And then the other part is that if I take somebody and put them on the gate, that means I'm taking them from another position where they're working. Now that position is empty. We only have the people that we have to fulfill the positions that we have.
That makes perfect sense. And then outside of the perimeter, you know, traffic enforcement, making sure that people keep the intersections clear, you know, widening roads is a fine idea, but that's tens of millions of dollars and many years in the doing. Would just traffic control make a difference, in your opinion?
It could. I'm not an expert in traffic control, but you're alluding to whether this is a base issue or a community issue.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a joint issue between the two of them. But you know, just recently, we did the compatibility use study. And then that compatibility use study is all about encroachment on the base. It's a big part of it. And encroachment is how the community and the base, as the community grows, how does that impact the missions on the base, such as noise abatement, such as air compatibility use zones. And you try and commercially and residentially zone areas outside the base to prevent things like this happening. And there's so much growth at the back of the base that's only going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. And I think that if a solution isn't found from the community standpoint, where the community is working with the base has done their part. They've opened up the back gate to allow people to come and see the air show, which is what the community wanted. And I think the community has to find a solution on their part to meet the base halfway, because if it doesn't and it gets worse, I can see very easily that the privilege, it's not a right, the privilege that the community has to come on to watch those air shows is going to go away very quickly, and that would be a terrible, terrible thing.
Agreed. And keep in mind that having public access through the West Gate is an inconvenience to people who actually work on the base that might want to use that gate to get into work. I mean, so there is a cost associated with this in addition to all of the cost you think about for the people who are trying to go there as visitors. One last thing on this subject real quickly is there a danger in having, as I said, all the cooks with their bright ideas, all of this talk and all of this, let's do this and let's do this and doing this in public. I mean, are we running a risk of sending a signal to the Pentagon or to Big Navy that, you know, this is more trouble than it's worth in general?
So are you alluding to like the idea of the viability of the base and the sustainability of the base in the community?
I don't know what's really on the table for loss here, you know, and I'm worried. I'm worried that there might be downside issues greater than just losing access through the back gate, losing missions, losing the Blues, Navy deciding that we are an inconvenient, expensive, difficult place to work with that doesn't have good schools and high housing, you know, those kinds of things, like the compatibility use study and all those things, you know?
Yep. So that's a very good point. The Navy is used to issues like this at many other bases, albeit different issues, such as up at Whidbey Island, the noise encroachment is a massive issue. The CO up there deals with that every single day. At NAS Oceana, the master jet base up in Norfolk, in 2012, an F-18 crashed into a housing complex right at the end of the runway. So these are encroachment issues the Navy is used to dealing with. Do they take it into account when they look at the compatibility of the base with an area? Absolutely they do. But then they look to mitigate it in the simplest and easiest way possible that makes the base safe. Their number one concern is making the base safe.
Got it.
And making the community safe.
And
when there are commands on the base, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, so when there are commands on the base, for example, let's say the Air Force who are at the airfield, most of those folks come in via the back gate. A lot of them live at the back gate. And so when they find themselves being inconvenienced every single day when they come on, if there is a future study that the Air Force is trying to decide whether they want to keep their units on there, that could be a factor. That's, you know, it's hard for the people to get to work every day. So it is something, it's a data point. I wouldn't say it's a causal factor, it's a data point.
Okay. Well, that alleviates none of my concerns, which is why I wanted to have this conversation today. And, you know, of course, the value of the compatibility use study and for us to figure out what we need to do better. And, you know, that's a focal point for us for sure. On a different subject, only because I have you on the phone, there was one of the it surprised me that there was a conversation on Thursday at the Board of County Commissioners meeting, not about base access for the Blue Angels and the traffic, but it had to do with the National Flight Academy. And several of the commissioners, Lumen May and Jeff Bergosh and even Mike Kohler to some degree, made a big stink about how there's not very many local kids who participate in that program because it's fairly expensive. And they were all up in arms about how these Title I schools and it's a STEM education and we need to get our local kids there. And what I kept thinking the whole time they were talking is, well, that's the Starbase program. And that started under you. We're already doing it, not just for Title I, but for all Escambia County school kids, I thought. And that's still going. That's successful, right?
And Andrew, the Starbase program is probably the thing I'm most proud of my tenure on the base. Of all the stuff that happened, it's a Starbase program. And I want to make sure that people are not confused about this. There's a National Flight Academy that does week-long programs and a couple of day programs for children to come and stay at the National Flight Academy. In order for them to do that, that's expensive. And there's a lot of scholarships that happen to do that. And then there's the Starbase program, which is also at the National Flight Academy. If you want kids, local kids, to come and stay at the Flight Academy for a week and do the National Flight Academy program, that's about $1,500 for a week. So if the Board of County Commissioners wants local folks to go there, then help us to find scholarships for them to do that.
Got it.
Now, the Starbase program, every single Title I kid in Escambia County spends 5 days doing instruction there, and it's so successful that the program has actually expanded. We've seen almost a 25% increase in STEM scores for every child that goes through there. So maybe they're mistaken. Maybe they didn't understand what's going on there. But that Starbase program is alive and well and expanding. And I commend the National Flight Academy and National Aviation Museum Foundation for taking that on board and being a partner to make that happen. It's a pretty amazing program.
And I'm not sure I understood the distinction between them, and so I can understand why the commissioners might not as well, but it's good to know that that is functioning and that is having such an effect. I mean, 25% is a major, because they were talking about like the Escambia Children's Trust money as a way to benefit kids if it can be used in conjunction with scholarships for, you know, Title I kids to be able to go to the National Flight Academy. Anyway, so no, but I'm glad to know Starbase is working more and working effectively, something that, as I said, came in under your tenure.
One more point on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
One more point on that, Andrew, and is that the Starbase program was done in conjunction with the Escambia County School District.
Right.
It's probably one of the most effective joint ventures that Escambia County School District has done, especially with the military. And that program is also done to enhance the curriculum at the school district. What the National Flight Academy does in those week-long programs is not. That's like a space camp.
I gotcha.
Starbase
works
directly with the school district.
That actually helps quite a bit to clarify in my mind. Tim Kinsella, call sign Lucky, retired captain, commander of the base, formerly NAS Pensacola. Tim, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you continue to do for our community and for helping me understand these issues better. I appreciate it, sir.
You bet.